And now some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
You know, I'm not going to preach. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. But I am going to make a warning I've been meaning to make for the last couple of days, and I just haven't gotten to it. So here it is. And a little bit old news, but just in case you missed it, really important. Hackers got into Zappos Data Online Shoe Seller, a division of Amazon, and made off with something like 24 million records. And so if you shop at Zappos and you like their online cool shoes, then you need to get in there and change your password. And you should have been notified. But just in case you missed it, there is your warning on that. I've been wanting to get to that all week, Scott. But
that was extremely disruptive. They shut down the site for a day, and the phone lines went crazy, and they actually stopped taking phone calls for a while because they got so
many. Did you
buy
your shoes at Zappos? Or
no.
Anybody you know, your wife?
Not that I'm aware of.
My wife likes it because she can find the running. She runs, and she finds the kind of running shoes she wants or other shoes. And
yeah. So. DSW, I know we frequent.
I don't know what that is.
It's a big shoe store.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, well, speaking of running.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Tell us, give us a rundown on the market and where we are.
Yeah, Wednesday had another good market. Just, you know, steady incremental movements. The Dow was up 97 points.
Ooh, I like that.
12,578. S&P up 14 points to close above the psychologically important 1,300 level at 1,308. Oil basically flat, $100 a barrel still. Gold up a little teeny tiny bit, up $7 to $16.22. Some decent economic news came out Wednesday. Encouragingly, quite a bit of it was around the housing sector.
How about that?
Yeah, so we had a real big spike in weekly mortgage applications, up 20%. Quite a bit of it was refinancing, but that's okay. More importantly, though, I think the National Association of Home Builders Builder Sentiment Index climbed to its highest level since June of 2007.
You know, I saw, and you know, this is completely not a valid statistic, but it's what I saw, and so, you know, it's important to recognize. But it's an interesting thing. I saw in the paper that, you know, it's kind of like who's who and who's up to what in the local section of my paper, and it talks about who's where, and I keep seeing a lot of people being hired by realty firms.
Yeah, we definitely seem to be getting a reversal of trend there. And then also in economic news today, on Wednesday, we did also have the producer price index, which dropped a little bit.
Deflation.
Well, not inflation.
Or disinflation.
Let's put it that way. Let's say
okay.
It's not inflation.
Well, but what's going on with commodities? I saw a little tick up in copper.
Yeah, this is the December number, and a big reason for the drop was lower oil prices, lower agricultural prices.
Corn got hammered?
Yeah, in the month of December.
And soybean.
Yeah.
China apparently gets a lot of our soybeans. I was reading the report on China, and they pull a lot of our soybeans in.
Yeah, so that's good news. We're not really looking for a whole lot of inflation right now. The economy really can't sustain it. Overseas, European shares mixed, but German and Portugal both had debt auctions that turned out pretty good. They were very, very short-term auctions, so they're not as important as the 10-year auctions.
They still unloaded it. They still got the financing.
Yep, and they had a fair amount of demand for it, so that's important. Greece, reports out of Greece for Wednesday are that they are really getting close to reaching a deal with private creditors about the so-called haircut, which is a term I'm really getting tired of quickly. But they think they may actually have a deal for private debt holders by Friday. And then finally, you know, we've been talking about earnings season a lot. Big financial services week this week for earnings. Goldman Sachs reported earnings before the bell on Wednesday. Earnings were not spectacular, but they beat expectations, which is really what counts. And then Goldman Sachs just had momentum all day on Wednesday. Regional banks did not do as well. Bank of New York Mellon fell quite a bit after they missed their earnings announcement. PNC Bank had lower profit than expected. U.S. Bancorp was up slightly. They said their net income was up fairly nicely. So a mixed bag there. Citigroup slipped quite a bit after their price target was cut to 42 from 44. Oh, excuse me, from 42 to 34. So bad news, more bad news. Just never seems to end for Citigroup. Two other pieces of corporate news I want to give you. Rally in Yahoo stock after Tuesday's announcement that founder and board member Jerry Yang quit.
That's got to be such a blow to your ego. You know, you found the company, and then the stock jumps when you leave.
Well, remember, now, he was the guy who could have sold it to Microsoft in 2008.
Yeah, and he said no.
Right before everything went in the tank, and he said no, thank you. And then finally, among tech stocks again, Apple edged higher again today, reached an all-time high after RBC raised its price target from 500 to 525.
RBC, Royal Bank of Canada?
Yes.
Okay.
525.
That's huge.
It's trading 427 now, so that's
so they think it's going to grow by 12.5-13%.
Yeah, still a big move there, and Apple, just the momentum just does not seem to stop. A lot of folks thought that when Mr. Jobs passed, that would kind of be the end of the ride, but doesn't appear to be the
case. He must have, maybe he left a note with a key with a map to the Xbox,
yeah,
a spot for the new formula for the next, you know, five, you know, and it's a, I don't know if it's an urban myth or whatever, but maybe it's just my suspicions. I'm sure other people share these, but, you know, a lot of this technology, some of it, they, of course, want to be first to the market with, so to speak.
Yeah.
But when you have some of these products or product lines, they have stuff kind of lined up.
Yeah, sure.
And so they say, okay, well, let's give Scott, you know, let's give him 5.1. And the next month, we'll give him 5.2.
Yeah. And in the meantime, they're lined up out in front of the store to buy it. And in China, they're going crazy and throwing eggs if they can't get them. So they have a lot of built-in demand there. Looking forward into the week, still more inflation numbers, consumer price index, more housing numbers. We get housing starts this week. We get existing home sales this week. Tons and tons and tons and tons of earnings. Bank of America, American Express, Google, IBM, Microsoft, GE, which is a big one, particularly for Dow components. So there's still, even though we're only through 3 days of market, there's a lot to still look forward to.
And on the inflation, this is, you know, something that ties directly to people's portfolios, because, and also on the potential for housing and all of this to do well, if inflation looks like it is taming a little bit, because again, it's falling commodities and other things, then, you know, that could end up boding very well for companies' balance sheets, because it keeps their long-term interest low, and it encourages companies to expand, and it's going to allow the Fed, the folks up in, you know, that set our monetary policy, to not have to raise interest rates in order to stem or stave off some inflation. So that's some good news.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like on the domestic economy. It's still a matter of some resolution in Europe, particularly in Greece, but I think we're getting closer and closer and closer.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll finish that thought and then we'll get on to a couple more topics. Stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
That's quite a breakdown. Scott, you like that part of the show.
I love it.
Nobody else has got that.
It makes me think of En Vogue back when I was in school.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Never going to get it, never going to get it. There you are. Well, speaking of never going to get it, hopefully we'll get some growth in the global economy. You know, there's a report out, Bloomberg reported that the World Bank cut its global growth forecast by the most in 3 years and said that basically, again, it's all about Europe.
Yeah, they really weren't even kind about it.
And so, and they are concerned it's going to exacerbate or really magnify the slowdown that we're seeing in India and Mexico. And, you know, India has been a real hot spot for a while and just huge country, over a billion people, but still growing like gangbusters. You know, usually what you see when you see these really, really high growth rates, it's a really small country with next to no GDP.
Starting
from
a small base.
Exactly. So you can grow a lot percentage-wise when you're growing off of a small economy.
Yeah.
But China and India with these 8 to 10 growth rates is just because both of them have over a billion people. That's just amazing.
Yeah, the World Bank really was I was a little surprised the market didn't react more negatively on Wednesday to the World Bank news because it was pretty dire. It said Europe is probably already in a recession. They have forecasted economic growth for 2012 at 2.5%, 3.1% for 2013.
That's for the whole world.
Yeah, that's for the whole world, but well below the prediction that they made in June, which was 3.6%. So they really lowered their estimates. They said if the euro area debt crisis continues to escalate, it could take as much as 4 more percentage points lower, and that puts us in negative growth, 3.6 minus 4, right? So that puts us in negative growth. They had better things to say about the United States economy than European economies, but they did also say that you guys have got to come up with some agreements on this debt or you're not going to grow.
Now, you're talking about U.S. or Greece?
U.S.
Oh, I got a little confused. I got a little confused there for a minute, you know, because we seem to be on the same path.
Yep. So a lot of bad news out of the World Bank. Now, I mean, it's just one group. They might be wrong. There are other, the IMF and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development also have their predictions. The IMF says 4% in 2012. OECD says 3.4%. So the World Bank is a little bit more cynical than the other organizations.
You got to like that.
That's right up my alley, yeah.
Well, let's talk about China. Okay, so China's been, you know, they've obviously, as we said earlier, been growing like gangbusters. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they control the exchange rate for their currency. They don't allow it to float.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. They don't allow to float. They generate their own numbers, which are not audited or you know, double-checked by anybody. The other thing, I was reading an interesting analysis that says, you know, the fact that their government doesn't ever change really helps them put in place whatever policies they want to put in place, whereas for our—
So you're saying they don't get distracted by having to run for office.
Yeah, we don't have these herky-jerky starts every 2 to 4 years where we're making these big, massive changes. So in some respects, it's a lot more efficient way to build an economy.
Well, dictatorships usually are pretty efficient. And they have, totalitarianism?
Yeah.
But, you know, that does create some wrinkles. And again, to people thinking about how China affects us here, you know, that's the obvious impact is, you know, the export-import relationship. But they suppress the value of their currency, which makes their goods and services that they export to us and other countries more competitive, and that really is a hard thing for us in terms of our exports and or even our own domestic economy being able, you know, you've got somebody wanting to build a mousetrap or a widget and sell it in the United States, and you got something that's available for half that price from China, and then the China products are purchased, and eventually the U.S. one disappears, and then, you know, so that's the problem with their controlling their currency.
Yeah, they have some challenges upcoming. I think in particular, one of the biggest concerns in China is a real estate bubble.
A lot of people are moving into their cities. Something like 50% of their population now lives in the cities.
Yeah, and their GDP, you know, we talk about GDP growth, 13% of that GDP is made up of real estate. So that's a big number. Now, I read an analysis that says if the rate of growth of real estate gets cut in half, this is just the impact of real estate. Everything else stays the same. Rate of growth in real estate gets cut in half. It brings their GDP down to about 7%.
Not so rosy.
Growth from 8.9%. So if they have a real estate bubble, it's going to be a huge problem for them.
Well, their government has stepped in, and they're requiring now 40% down payments on their houses. And they've really tried to keep, I guess, basically reduce Well, that's basically reducing the number of potential buyers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, like what they're really they're doing is deliberately instituting what occurred naturally in our country.
Right. But, you know, they have to worry about prices dropping really, really, really quickly because it doesn't, you know, as we saw in 2007, 2008, you can't make this a gradual process if the bubble is already blown up too high.
Which yeah, because if you, no matter how small the pin you stick it with,
that's right,
it still has a potential to pop.
Nobody would have guessed our housing market would have imploded as quickly and as dramatically as it did. And I think they're on a bigger bubble than we were on.
I think you're completely right. So
that's, I think, the thing to watch as far as the GDP number goes there.
Well, one of the other things has been, and I'll hit it real quick because I've got another topic we're going to get to. One of the other things that's been in the paper here recently and it's been out in the media is all about credit and debit cards, prepaid cards, all of this. And I've threatened all, you know, last several shows to talk about it and we ran out of time. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown of some of what's out there, Scott, if you'll indulge me here. One of the things that we're seeing is that there is this just growth of all types of credit and credit cards and debit cards and prepaid cards. And one of the things that I want to really draw attention to is that there are a vast number of these different things out there. And one of the things you have to be careful about is understand what the fees are. You know, there's some of these fancy new prepaid cards that are coming out, celebrity endorsed prepaid cards, even credit cards. Look past the smiling face, look past the big hairdo or the beautiful face or the reputation and look at the details. You know, when you sign up for a credit card, whatever it is, they send you that document that you need your magnifying glass
right.
to read it. Well, you know what? You really do need to get your magnifying glass out and read it because it is not all it's cracked up to be. And it's not the panacea that people sometimes think it is to have that credit card. And we'll talk more about this as we can. But
so there's no David Holland debit card on
there? No, sir. There will not be, never will be one of those because, you know, it's just something that people have to be really careful about.
Yeah.
All right, stick around. We'll come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about, weigh in on this whole tax policy thing and who's paying what tax rate, and I'm going to strip it down and tell you what's really going on and why you care.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN. To schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Okay, we're back, and I have been prepping all day to talk about this for you, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, I'll try not to become political here, and I don't think I will be because I'm really going to be critical. I'm going to be an equal opportunity offender or criticizer here. There's been all kinds of fuss in the paper and on TV about the Republicans and, of course, going into the fall election. Everybody wants to know what everybody's paying in taxes and their tax rate. And Warren Fussbudgets talked about the fact that he pays more than his secretary. And you know what? I've asked Scott to stick around a little bit longer. I have deciphered this for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to sound like I think I got it all figured out. Well, I think I do on this one. What's happening is, plain and simple, the media, the politicians, you can put whatever names you want on whatever ones there are out there, is they are muddying the water, and they basically want you, and I think you should be offended and insulted for this, but they want you to hate or envy or not to like or not be able to relate to anybody that pays a lower tax bracket than you do. You know, it used to be, we talked about what's an equitable system and everybody paying, quote unquote, their fair share. And what's happened is it has really evolved into this, again, this class warfare and pointing fingers and, oh, they think this and they think that. Well, I did a little research that I think you would find very interesting. I was fascinated by this. Huffington Post did a recent rundown of the top 10 presidential candidates over the last 10 years or so. And this was very interesting. Number 10, John Edwards, was when he ran 2004-2008, his current net worth estimated around $45
million. Now facing trial.
Exactly. Rudy Giuliani, he was a Republican candidate in 2008, $65 million. John Huntsman just got out of the race, $70 million. Hillary Clinton, $85 million. Bill Clinton, the ultimate man of the people, $85 million. Al Gore, jet set, talking to us about how we need to not be burning those fossil fuels in his jet, $100 million. John Kerry, $240 million, which is real close to Mitt Romney's estimated $250. So what I don't understand, actually I do, but I'm going to ask it as if I don't. I didn't hear a peep during the presidential contest when John Kerry was running for office about his $240 million net worth. Not a peep.
I don't know why it's even remotely relevant.
It's not. We both know it's not. I think most people know it's not. Steve Forbes, $450 million. Of course, Ross Perot, $3.6 billion, an independent from the 1996 campaign. Now, what's going on here is that there is this attempt to make it look like if somebody makes a lot of their income from dividends or capital gains, right now they get 15% tax treatment on that. So I've got a real, and so that's Mitt Romney's case, and so he's paying at 15% bracket. Well, let me do you some quick math. Let's just say that Mitt Romney, is, or anybody else, John Kerry, or any of these people that have a high net worth, let's say they make 4%, okay? 4%, which would be a pretty modest return overall for that kind of wealth. 4% on $250 million is $10 million. So let's say that's all capital gains and dividends. $10 million, that's a lot of money. $10 million at 15% is $1.5 million in taxes. 15% bracket, $1.5 million taxes. Now, to get the same tax percentage, somebody needs to make about $125,000 a year. I went to one of my favorite websites, moneychimp.com. It's got a funny name, easy to remember, and they've got great little quick tax calculators. So a married couple, $125,000 taxable income, take out your standard deductions and exemptions, and you've got about $18,000 in tax, 15% tax bracket. So for anybody that makes less than $125,000 in income, which is a bunch of people, and I've got the number and I'll grab it for you, Mitt Romney pays more tax rate than they do. So here it is. I've got it for you right here. This is astounding, okay? Okay, here we go. So you've got to make about $125,000 a year to pay 15% tax bracket on your income tax. That's 97% of taxpayers. So he pays more as a percentage, or anybody else in his situation, pays more in tax rate than 97%. And when you do the actual math on the taxes, he pays more in tax than 99.97%, virtually most people. There's only like another 40-some thousand tax filers out of 139 million tax preparers. Only about 40,000 pay more in taxes than he does. So here's what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll tell you why all this matters. What they're doing, when you have Warren Fussbudget say, well, my secretary pays more in tax than I do. What he's doing is he's mixing apples and oranges. He's combining payroll tax with income tax. That's what they're doing, and they're slipping it by us. Income tax, somebody paying 15% capital gains and dividend tax is paying a higher tax bracket than 97% of the tax filers. So when somebody talks about—
It's a different kind of tax. It's a different—
so, because let's be clear. Payroll tax and income tax are two completely separate things.
Yeah.
Income tax is for what? Defense. It's paid to the government to defend us, government services, infrastructure, social services, all of that. Payroll tax is made up of two things, Medicare and Social Security. You're paying the tax, or if you want to call it a fee, to the government who's going to turn around and give you, when you hit 65, they're going to give you Medicare. So you're prepaying for your health insurance coverage, in effect, and the payroll, the Social Security, goes toward your getting a Social Security benefit. And your Social Security benefit has a lot to do with what you make as a person and the tax you've paid. So they mix the apples and oranges. So this is all of what's going on. And, you know, I did a quick study, and it's kind of like the Spanish have a saying, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's hago lo que yo digo, no lo que yo hago, something like that, which basically do as I say, not as I do. And so we have 400 some odd House of Representatives, 439 or so. And I got this from the Center for Responsive Politics, 185 of them had $1 million or more net worth. So, you know, a lot of people that are elected officials have a lot of wealth and make a lot of income.
In both parties.
And, you know, in both parties. It's across the board. And you know what else? I don't care if Mitt Romney or John Kerry or anybody else makes more money than me or pays a higher more in taxes. For the person that makes like a John Kerry or a Mitt Romney, they make $10 million and pay $1.5 million in taxes. You know what? They're paying 79 or 80 times. Yeah, they're paying 79 times the taxes. They don't talk about the tax dollars. They're talking about the tax rate. They may pay more in 1 year than people pay in their lifetime.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, I've gone over in this segment. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Stick around.
Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Well, let me just wrap the show up today by really hitting the point here that I'm trying to make before the break about taxes and your money and all this political spin and mumbo jumbo that we're seeing in the media and television and newspapers, and basically wanting to really make this a fight over class warfare, and somebody's paying more a lower tax bracket than you. They're playing a game. They're mixing apples and oranges, and they're trying to manipulate you. And so what my advice and my recommendation is that you not be fooled or distracted. What we should expect is for somebody to come out with an intelligent plan to get this country back where it should be. We've got tremendous resources in this country. We've got a lot of great, hardworking people that innovate and who want to live the American dream. They want to be self-determining. They want that financial freedom that our founding fathers structured and built into what we are as a country. And so do not let anybody hijack those ideals with all of this, you know, I'm in the 99, you're in the 1%, and therefore you've gotten your money somehow unfairly, and oh, it's all that is a big distraction. Please provide us, I'm talking to our leaders, please provide us with some sound economic policies that aren't about who's to blame. And as it relates to your money, ladies and gentlemen, what you need to be thinking about is What do you need to do to protect yourself and to make sure that you have your money structured to give you the best you can have for your lifestyle, for your future or current retirement? And do not rely on politicians to provide that to you. You have to make sure you look out for yourself. Thanks for being with me today.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.